Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier, with you for an hour of science fiction. Later on, we hear Dimension X with a story to the future, but right now it's Ray Bradbury's short story, The Veldt, first published in September 1950 in the Saturday Evening Post under the title The World the Children Made. This episode first broadcast on X-1 on August 4th, 1955 on NBC.
Countdown for blast off. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds.
X minus one.
Tonight's story. Ray Bradbury's tale, The Veldt. This is the office of Dr. David McLean, resident psychiatrist of the new Chicago Institute of Human Engineering.
All right, Miss Carver, will you take this, please? To Charles S. Haworth, senior psychiatrist, new Chicago Institute of Human Engineering. The following constitutes my report on the case of George and Lydia Abbott, which we discussed by telephone. Subject George relates onset of symptoms to the purchase of a $60,000 soundproofed Happy Life home. Under narcosynthesis during initial interviews, subject described the experience in the following manner. Miss Carver, would you play back the sonic record of the initial interview?
We'd always wanted one, and then we could afford it, so...
Go on, Mr. Abbott. Tell me about the home.
The home? Well, it was supposed to do everything, the agent told us. And it did, I guess. It clothed us, fed us, and rocked us to sleep. Played and sang, and it was good to us. Very good, sure.
Tell me about the nursery.
The nursery? The nursery, ah.
It was completely automatic?
Completely automatic. There were crystalline walls that wavered from two to three dimensions. There were pseudo-textured floors that shifted from brick to dirt to waving grass. The nursery was the best, but then we wanted the best for the children. Doctor, I must be crazy. We have no children.
What about Peter and Wendy? They're your children.
Oh, no, no. We have no children, Doctor. We have no children.
All right, Miss Carver. To continue. After three sessions, the subject was able to recall and accept the idea that he had two children. He described the first day.
All right, Peter and Wendy. This is your nursery.
Well, what's so special about a nursery, Dad?
Plenty. Just go in and see.
Do we have to?
You'll be surprised.
Gee.
Go ahead.
I'm scared.
I'm not.
Hey, it's nice in here.
It is?
Come on in, Wendy. Boy, look at the pictures on the walls. They're real.
They're almost real. You can change them any way you like just by thinking.
In, dear.
Well, all right, Mommy.
Hey, Wendy, look what I can do with the pictures.
That's the White Rabbit from Alice in Wonderland.
Sure. I just thought about it, and there it was.
Let me try. Peter, let me try.
Well, go ahead. Just think.
How about Wizard and Oz? I want to see Wizard and Oz.
Well, dear, there we are.
Oh, they like it, don't they?
Why shouldn't they? All I have to do is think, and they've got whatever they want in three dimensions. Color, sound, and smell.
Oh, it's nice that we can give them all the advantages.
Sure. What else are we working for, huh? Mm. Well, what do you want to do this evening?
Well, the Petersons asked us over for bridge, but
well,
if you...
Well, we don't have to worry about the kids. They'll be all right in the nursery. Come on, Lydia. We deserve a night out.
And in the nursery, the walls were a kaleidoscope of time and space and imagination. The green forest of Sherwood and the quiet forms of Robin and his merry men gave way to the roll of the high seas and the smell of salt in the air as Sir Henry Morgan sailed into the harbor at Jamaica. And behind the crystalline quartz walls, the vacuum tubes and grids and banks of metal image tape spun quietly and efficiently, erasing the line between illusion and reality. Of course, the electric bill from Consolidated Utilities was tremendous, but it was worth it. The happy life home breathed contentedly as life proceeded with soft automaticity, as guaranteed in the brochure and bill of sale.
George.
Hmm?
George, I wish you'd look at the nursery.
What's wrong with it?
I don't know.
I was in the nursery last week. It's perfectly all right.
It's different now.
What do you mean, different?
I want you to come and see.
Are the kids there?
No. Madge Allen took them to a show along with her kids. That's why I want you to look at it now, before they get back.
Oh, all right. What you expect me to do, I don't know. I'm no mechanic.
This isn't a question of a leaky faucet, George.
All right, dear. I'm coming.
The nursery light flicked on as they came down the hall. The relays clicked and the tubes warmed and chemical odor banks and pipes bubbled into life as they paused before the closed door.
Go ahead, George. Open it.
On all sides, in three dimensions, stretched the hot, tired landscapes of an African veldt reproduced to the last stick and pebble and bit of straw. The ceiling above them became a sky with a hot yellow sun. A wind blew in from the baked veldtland. The hot straw smell of lion grass. The cool green smell of the hidden waterhole. The great rusty smell of animals. The howl of the jackal in the distance. And the papery rustling of the great vultures that wheeled and circled under the yellow burning sun.
Let's get out of this, son. It's a little too real.
Oh, George, you promised you'd look around.
Well, I don't see anything.
Wait a minute. There are the vultures.
Filthy creatures.
There are the lions. Far over that way.
Yes, I see them.
Well, they're on their way to the waterhole. They've just eaten.
Some animal. A zebra, or a baby giraffe, maybe.
Can you see it? Are you sure?
It's a little late to be sure. Nothing over there but clean bone and the vultures swooping down for what's left.
Did you hear that scream?
What scream?
About a moment ago.
Sorry, no.
Oh, here come the lions. George, they're frightening.
Take it easy, Lydia. They're just illusion.
Lions were 15 feet away. So real, so startlingly real, you could feel the prickling fur on your hand and your mouth was stuffed with the dusty upholstery smell of their heated pelts. And the yellow of them was in your eyes like the yellow of an exquisite tapestry. The yellows of lions and summer grass and the sound of the matted lion lungs exhaling on the silent noontide. And the smell of meat from the panting, dripping mouth.
George, I'm afraid they're so real.
They're only an illusion, Lydia, that's all.
Watch out!
Out, quick, outside!
They almost got us.
Now take it easy, calm down.
I could feel their breath.
Get a hold of yourself, Lydia. They aren't real. Walls, that's all it is. Crystalloid walls.
They look so real.
Of course they do. But it's all dimensional color reactionary process and metal tape film behind glass screens. It's all odorophonics and sonics. Now here, take my handkerchief.
I'm afraid. Did you see? Did you feel it? It's too real.
Now, now, Lydia.
And we've got to tell Wendy and Peter not to read any more on Africa.
Of course, dear.
I want you to lock that place up.
But you know how difficult Peter is about that. I punished him last week by locking the nursery for an afternoon, and he threw a tantrum. And Wendy, too. Well, they live for the nursery.
It's got to be locked. That's all there is to it.
You've been working too hard, Lydia. You need a rest.
I don't know. Maybe I don't have enough to do. I have too much time to think. All I do is set the menu selector dials at the beginning of the week.
But that's the whole idea. The house is automatic.
I know, but couldn't we turn it off for about a week and take a vacation?
You mean you want to fry eggs for me?
And darn socks. I feel like I don't belong here. The house is wife and mother and maid. How can I compete with the African belts? George?
Hmm?
Those lions can't get out of there, can they?
Of course not, dear. Now, don't think about it anymore.
They ate alone. He sat idly watching the dining room table produce warm dishes of food from its mechanical interior.
You forgot the ketchup. That's better.
It wouldn't hurt to lock the children out of the nursery for a while. It was clear that they had been spending too much time in Africa. But sun, he could feel it on his neck still like a hot paw. And the lions and the smell of blood. Remarkable how the nursery caught the telepathic emanations of the children's minds and created a life to fulfill their desires. The children thought zebras, and there were zebras. Sun, sun. Giraffes, giraffes. Death and death. They were so young. But long before you knew what death was, you were wishing it on someone else. But this, the long, hot African belt, the awful death in the jaws of a lion, and repeated again and again and again. The children came home dutifully at 8:30.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Pop.
Hello,
darling.
Do you want something to eat, dear? We're just having dessert.
We're full of strawberry ice cream.
And hot dogs.
We'll just sit and watch.
Sure. Peter, tell us about the nursery.
The nursery?
All about Africa and everything.
I don't understand.
Well, your mother and I were just traveling through Africa with Rod and Reel.
There's no Africa in the nursery.
Oh, come now, Peter. We know better.
I don't remember any Africa. Do you, Wen?
Uh-uh.
Go run and see, huh?
Sure. I'll be right back.
Wendy, come back here. Wendy.
Oh, she'll be right back, Pop.
She doesn't have to. I've seen it. Come on.
Sure, Pop. But Wendy will tell us.
Open the door.
See, Daddy? It's not Africa. It's Florida. Like in Bambi.
There go the deer. See? It isn't Africa.
I see it isn't. Go to bed.
But it isn't 9 o'clock.
You heard me. Go to bed.
Okay. Good night, Mom. Good night, Pop.
Good night.
Good night, dear. I'll be right in.
Wait a minute, Lydia. Look at this.
What is it?
This is the corner where the lions were, isn't it?
What is that you picked up?
An old wallet of mine. There's a smell of hot grass on it. And the smell of a lion. It's wet with saliva. And it's been chewed.
George, those smears of blood.
Come on out. Now let's go to bed.
But in the middle of the night, he was still awake. And he knew his wife was awake.
George, how did your wallet get in the nursery?
I don't know. Wendy must have changed the walls from the African veldt. I'm going to keep it locked. Maybe it isn't good for the children. My father used to say children are like carpets. They should be stepped on occasionally. We've never lifted a hand. They're spoiled and we're spoiled. I think I'll have Dr. McLean come tomorrow morning and have a look at Africa.
But it isn't Africa now. It's Florida and Bambi.
I have a feeling it'll be Africa again before then.
Although their automatic somno beds tried very hard, the two adults could not be rocked to sleep for another hour. A smell of cats was in the night air. And in the morning, the stove cooked French toast, and the dining room table poured the syrup and melted butter.
Pop?
Yes?
You aren't going to lock up the nursery for good, are you?
That all depends.
On what?
On you and your sister.
We feel you should have some variety, dear.
I wouldn't want the nursery locked up ever.
Well, as a matter of fact, we're thinking of turning the whole house off for about a month. Sort of camping out.
Be fun for a change. Now, don't you think so, Wendy?
No, it'd be awful.
I don't want to do anything but look and listen and smell. What else is there to do?
Oh, all right, all right. Go play in Africa.
Are you going to shut off the house soon?
We're considering it.
I don't think you better consider it anymore, Pop.
I won't have any threats from you, son.
Okay, Pop. Come on, Wendy. Let's get back.
After breakfast, Dr. David McLean arrived.
Oh, I saw the nursery last year, George. It looked all right to me.
You didn't notice anything unusual?
No. The pattern showed the usual violence, a tendency towards slight paranoia. All children feel persecuted by their parents. It's perfectly normal.
There. There it is.
Suppose we take a look at it now.
They entered without knocking and sent the children out. The screams had faded and the lions were feeding quietly under the trees.
I wish I could see what they're eating.
How long has this been going on?
A little over a month.
It certainly doesn't feel good.
I don't want feelings, I want facts.
George, a psychologist never saw a fact in his life. He knows about feelings, and this doesn't feel good. Now, my advice to you is to have the whole room torn down and your children brought to me every day for the next year for treatment.
Is it that bad?
I'm afraid so. You know, that's why the nursery was developed originally, to let us examine the patterns left on the wall by a child's mind.
But what is it? What's wrong with Peter and Wendy?
It's hard to say.
I haven't punished them more than average. Oh, I took away a few gadgets. Last week, I locked the nursery to show I meant business.
You've let this room replace you and your wife in your children's affections. This room is their real father and mother. And now you come along and want to shut it. Well, you can feel the hatred coming out of that sky. George, turn everything off. The nursery, the automatic kitchen, the whole automatic house. Start now.
But won't the shock be too much for the children?
I don't want them going any deeper. Let's get out of here. I never like these rooms. I get nervous.
Those lions look real, don't they? I don't suppose there's any way...
What?
That they could become real.
Not that I know.
Some flaw in the machinery, tampering?
No.
I don't imagine the room will like being turned off.
Nothing ever likes to die, even a room.
I wonder if it hates me for turning it off.
Paranoia is thick today. Well, hello. Is this your scarf? Stained. Brown. Blood.
That's Lydia's. Come on, the main fuse box is out here.
All right, go ahead. Pull the switch.
Yeah. It's off.
The two children were in hysterics. They screamed and kicked and threw things. They yelled and sobbed and swore and jumped on the furniture, weeping.
It's off and it stays off. The whole house dies as of now.
He marched around the house, cutting switches and pulling fuses.
Don't let them do it! Don't let let Pop kill everything. I hate you. I hate you.
Insults won't get you anywhere.
I wish you were dead.
We were for a long while. Now we're going to start really living. Instead of being handled and massaged, we're going to live.
Once more, Daddy. Just once more.
One more minute of the nursery, that's all. Just one more minute.
Oh, George, it can't hurt, really.
Oh, all right, only shut up. 1 minute, and that's the end. Forever.
Gee, thanks, Pop. Thanks.
And then we're going on a vacation. Dr. McLean is coming in half an hour to help us out. Lydia, turn on the nursery for just a minute.
Oh, boy. Come on, Wendy. Come on.
Thanks, Daddy. Thanks a lot.
Just 1 minute, remember? Now, where'd I put those suitcases? Lydia!
Don't shout, George. I'm right here.
Did you leave them alone in the nursery?
Well, I've got to get ready, George.
Well, I guess we better get them out of there before they get involved with those beasts again.
Pop! Pop, come here!
Daddy! Mommy!
Come on, quick!
Wendy! Peter! What's the matter?
Hurry up! Open the nursery! Wendy! Peter!
They aren't anywhere. Wendy! Peter!
Peter! The door! Open the door! Oh. They've locked it from the outside. Peter!
Peter! Wendy! Peter! Open the door, dear!
Let us out, Peter! Open the door! It's time to go! Open the door!
George! The lions!
Peter, do you hear me? Open this door!
When Dr. David McLean came, half hour later, he found the two children in the nursery sitting in the center of the open glade eating a picnic lunch. Beyond them was the waterhole and the yellow veldt land. Above was the hot sun. At a distance, Dr. McLean saw the lions fighting and clawing and then settling down to feed in silence under the shady trees.
Hi, kids. Where are your mom and dad?
Oh, they'll be here directly.
Good, good. We've got to get along.
He squinted at the lions with his hands up to his eyes. Now they were done feeding and they moved to the waterhole to drink. A shadow flickered as the vultures dropped down from the blazing sky to finish what the lions left.
Dr. McLean? Dr. McLean?
Huh? What?
Have a cup of tea?
Which concludes my report to date. There were no lions, of course. Not in a physical sense. Lydia and George were devoured, however, almost as surely as if there had been lions. Their personalities were devoured by the mechanistic marvels which had usurped their role as parents. All four members of the family are under intensive therapy now and are doing as well as can be expected. Send that by telerope, Miss Carver. Oh, and, would you ask George Abbott to step inside? I'm ready for him now.
Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you The Veldt, written by Ray Bradbury and adapted for radio by Ernest Kenoy. Featured in the cast were Mary Patton, Bill Quinn, David Pfeffer, Beverly Lunsford, Charles Penman, and John Larkin. Your announcer, Fred Collins.
X-1 on Tuned to Yesterday from August 4th, 1955 on NBC. It's an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. That last broadcast was actually first produced on Dimension X in August of 1951, and we'll visit that series now with a story to the future. Again, another Bradbury tale. Heard on May 27th, 1950 on NBC.
Adventures in time and space. Told in future tense.
Dimension X. Time is an interesting phenomenon. A ticking clock,
the running sands of an hourglass. All these have captured the imagination of men. But time is more. It exists now, and then, and in the future. Suppose we are in the year 1950. Coexistent in time may be worlds we have never seen. The worlds of the past and of the future. The year was 1950. It was a spring night in Mexico, fiesta time. The fireworks shot up into the clear, dark sky, and a papier-mâché bull ran about the plaza chasing boys and laughing men. Mr. and Mrs. William Travis stood on the edge of the yelling crowd, smiling.
Oh, what is it, Bill? What are they saying?
Well, they're cheering for the bull. Here he comes. He's good, isn't he? I wonder how they rigged up that fire breathing.
Oh, Bill, it's wonderful. I've never enjoyed myself so much in my life.
It's terrific. Well, they brought the bull. Bravo, Toro!
Bravo, Toro! Oh, it will go on, won't it? I mean, our trip.
Ah, oh, Sue, don't worry. I have enough traveler's checks for a lifetime. Relax.
But suppose they find us.
Forget it now. They haven't a chance.
But suppose they do. Suppose they take us back.
They'll never find us now. Relax. Enjoy yourself.
Oh, it could only last.
Come on, darling. Let's get out of the crowd. I think you'll need a drink.
All right. Let's try something different this time. I want to try every drink there is in the world.
Oh, don't worry, darling. There's no rush. We've plenty of time now. All right, in here. Oh, there's a table over there. Come on.
Bill.
Hmm? What's the matter?
Don't look right away, but over your left shoulder, right by the end of the bar, that man.
What is it?
I saw him this morning in the plaza.
Well, darling, take it easy. The town is full of tourists.
But he was at Juarez in Tasco. Bill, I'm afraid.
Well, now, don't stare at him. Come on.
I know it's the same man. He was wearing the same white suit.
Sit down, Sue. All right, now, come on, dear. Smile. Act natural.
Bill, he's been following us. He's a searcher. I know he is.
Quiet. Oh, boy. Here, boy.
Si, senor. Si.
Benedictine and brandy. Two.
Two. Si. Si, senor.
He's watching us, Bill.
Oh, you quit worrying, darling. The chances are 1 in 1,000 that they found us. Probably it's just a coincidence.
I want to lie down. I think I'm going to be sick.
Susan, hang on, will you? What's he doing now?
He stopped our waiter. He's asking him something.
He may just want a drink.
Bill, I can't stand it. I've got to go upstairs and lie down.
All right, all right. As soon as we finish our drinks. What's he doing now?
Well, he's nodding at me. Huh? As if he knows me. And he's smiling. He's coming over here.
Well, now, watch yourself. We've got to go right on in front of him. So if he is what we think he is, he won't suspect.
I couldn't.
We've got to. Now, come on. So I said to David, I said, Dave, that's ridiculous. You know that the thing is that it's never going to take...
Preston.
What?
You did not pull up your pants leg when you sat down.
Oh, well, I'm afraid you have the wrong person. My name isn't Chrysler.
Chris-ten.
No, well, I'm William Travis. I don't see what my pants leg has got to do with it.
Mind if I sit down?
Well, yes, I...
Everyone nowadays pulls up his pants leg when he sits down. Like this. Keeps the trousers from bagging at the knees. But, of course, if you're not used to this style of clothing...
Now, see here. We don't know you. We
don't? I'm sorry. I thought I knew you.
Look, this is our table. If you don't mind...
You see, I'm looking for two friends of mine. A man and his wife. Very much like you. The man is an atomic scientist. The wife, a bacteriologist. Very important people. They work on government business.
Just what are you talking about?
When I find my friends... going to take them home with me.
Look here, Mr.
Sims. That will do for now.
All right, Sims. I understand that you thought you knew us. But you can see you're mistaken. Now, if you'll excuse us, my wife and I were just going up to our room. We have to make an early start in the morning.
Going for a trip? Up Acapulco, perhaps? Lovely spot.
Never mind where we're going.
Yes, yes, of course. You don't like crowds, tourists. I'd probably like to get off the beaten path. You know, I've got a vacation folder here that might interest
Please,
you.
Please, Bill, let's go.
Wait, Sue.
It's put out by an outfit that calls itself Travel in Time, Incorporated.
Travel in Time?
Yes, they've come up with a rather intriguing idea. Would you like to actually witness the burning of Rome sail with Columbus in 1492 on his voyage of discovery to America, meet Cleopatra? Then why not take your vacation in time as well as in place?
Perhaps you've seen this leaflet before.
Of course not.
Then you'll be interested in hearing the rest. Travel in Time Incorporated can cost you, put you in the crowd at any place and time in history.
Look,
we guarantee to teach you any language you need to move freely in any year without risk of detection. This summer, why not escape from the worries of our modern world? Take your vacation in time.
Oh, that's impossible, of course.
Ah, but think what it would mean. A chance to escape all the tensions of an unpleasant life. War, insecurity, fear.
Sims, I...
Suppose you were a scientist working on a dangerous bomb project. Or you, Mrs. Travis. Suppose you were a bacteriologist working on disease cultures. And you had a chance to escape all that. To take a vacation 200 years in the past. Would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Escape to a more peaceful world. A trip back to 1950.
1950? But you said a vacation in the past.
So I did. But you see, 1950 is the past if you come from the year 2155.
2155?
Mm-hmm. Terrible times. Most unpleasant. A war raging, an atomic bacteriological war. Terrible times. With none of the little comforts we enjoy today, like this fine Havana cigar.
Bill, I want to go upstairs. I want to lie down.
If you were living then, think of how wonderful it would be to take a vacation in time. Back to now.
Oh, you're crazy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Suppose a young couple like yourselves took a trip to 1950 and didn't want to come back. You know what would happen? The government sends a searcher back to look for them.
This is all fantastic nonsense.
The searcher finds them and brings them back. Well, do you think I'll find my two friends, Mr. Travis?
Bill, please take me upstairs. I don't feel well.
Oh, is the lady feeling a bit sick? How unfortunate.
Here are the drinks, senor.
Well, shall we drink a toast to 2155, to the future?
Inside, quick.
Bill, what are you doing?
Shoving a chair under the doorknob.
He knows. He has been following us. Bill, he's a searcher.
Will you keep quiet, Sue? I want to think.
Bill, take us back.
That isn't over yet. Oh, I've got a headache.
I'll get you an aspirin. What will they do to us?
I don't know what they'll do to us. Something slipped. Something must have slipped.
But we were so careful.
Well, the searchers are trained to watch for detail. Things like not pulling up my trousers. That started him thinking. There is a man who isn't used to ancient clothes. Could kill myself for giving it away.
No, it was my walk. These hot heels.
Careful now.
Here.
Thank you.
Bill, I won't go back. I won't go on filling tubes with typhoid and bubonic plague.
Now, take it easy, sir.
There must be some way. We don't have to go back to 2155, do we?
The nerve of that Sims sitting there looking us up and down like animals smoking those stinking cigars.
That's how I first noticed him at Tasco. He had four bottles of liqueurs and a pile of chocolate.
Yes, well, he still hasn't gotten over that first greedy hunger. We've got to look out for that suit. It's the sure sign of somebody from the future trying to make up for a lifetime of shortages by stuffing themselves sick. Remember our first night?
Bill, I can't stand it. We've got to get out of here.
What are you doing?
Packing. We can get to Acapulco by morning.
Don't you think he's watching us?
We could get away.
No, no. We've got to sit tight. We've got to wait right here for a break. I don't know what, but something has got to break.
Darling, I'm afraid.
No. Maybe he isn't sure of us yet. Maybe we can still figure out some way to escape. Come on, now. We better try to get some sleep.
No. I won't go back. Security, please. The bomb! It's falling! It's falling!
Sue, Bill. What's the matter? Sue!
Bill!
Sue, wake up, darling.
Bill.
Sue,
Bill.
Wake up.
Where are we?
Bill. All right. Now, calm down, honey. You were dreaming now. It's all right.
Bill, where are we?
No, we're still in 1950. It's all right. You must have had a nightmare.
It was awful, Bill. Bill, there was an explosion, a terrible explosion, and my hand burned and wrinkled, and the buildings broke. Bill, we won't go back there, will we? Ever.
No. Go to sleep, honey. It's all right.
We're in Mexico, 1950, and we're going to stay here.
Dale.
Sue, I've been lying awake here thinking. It may be that he's still testing us, that he's not absolutely certain. That may be why he hasn't moved.
Well, maybe he's just playing with us.
Yes, maybe. I wouldn't put that past him either. He's got all the time in the world. He can stay here as long as he likes, then bring us back to the future 60 seconds after we left it.
They can't make a scene, can they? They don't dare come out in the open.
No. That might change the future. They're afraid of that.
Oh, Bill. If we could only tell somebody, ask for help.
Now, Sue, you know we can't. That's why we had to submit to the psychological block treatment before they okayed our vacation. We couldn't tell if we tried. The block is too strong.
Well, maybe we can break it, Bill.
And what if we did? Who'd believe a crazy story like ours? Who would believe that we come from 2155? No, Sue, that would do no good. But this is important. They have to get us alone to put us in the time machine to send us back.
Then that's it. We'll never be alone. Listen, it's still fiesta time. It'll be easy to stay in the crowd.
Yes. Yes, that's our only chance. We must not let him get us alone. He won't get us back to that war and that insane world of it.
Bill.
It could be the room clerk.
At 3 a.m?
I'd better answer it.
No, don't. Don't, Bill, don't.
I've got to. Hello? Hello?
Mr. Travis?
What is the idea of this? It's 3 a.m.
Yes, yes. I just wanted to remind you, the rabbits may hide in the forest, but a fox can always find them.
What was it, Bill? Bill?
No, never mind, darling. Come on, let's get some sleep. Why, we can.
Buenos dias, senor. Senor.
Good morning, Senor Gomez.
I trust you are spending pleasant days in my hotel. Yes, the time is the best.
Oh, it's been lovely.
Your special table is all ready for breakfast.
Oh, fine.
Blazes in the hotel! Hey, you bust away from the hotel! This godless thing to take all the
work. What is all that racket?
Great excitement, very great.
All right, what is it?
They come with 4 trucks and innumerable automobiles. A motion picture company from Hollywood.
Oh, what are they doing down here?
They make pictures of our fiesta for the backgrounds.
Oh, yes.
We have a very beautiful town. Beautiful. Yes, very beautiful. That fat man, the one with the most colorful shirt, he is the chief, the director.
Manager, oh, yes. Manager, where's the manager of this adobe flea bag?
Coming, senor, coming. You will excuse me. Oh, I hope the table is satisfactory. Coming, senor, coming.
Sue, this is a break. That movie company will draw crowds, and that helps
us. But when can we leave, Bill?
Well, not today. We'd be sure then. It'd be easy to catch us above on the road. We better stay and try to lull Sims.
Okay, kids, end of the line. Chow! Get out of posture. Lay off the pepper. I got a nose.
There's Sims, Bill. Across the dining room.
We can't do anything now, not with these actors coming in.
Okay, follow me, kiddies. Hey, Gloria, you sit next to Papa. Hey, Max, make sure nobody monkeys with the trucks and the gears. Right, Chief?
Do we have to eat at this crummy joint, Joe?
Cheer up, sweetie. Your mere presence makes this chasins and the truck roll into one.
Not this early in the morning, Joe. I couldn't stand it.
Okay.
They look happy, don't they?
It's on the dear old
Susan, maybe I could hire 2 of them. I could say it was a joke.
Oh, why?
We could dress them in our clothes, have them drive off in our car sometime when Sims couldn't see their faces.
Where would that get us?
Well, with him off on their trail, we might make it to Mexico City. It'd take years to find us there.
Shh, Bill, that movie man's coming over here.
Oh, excuse me. You folks are Americans, aren't you?
Yes, that's right.
Boy, am I glad to see you. Yeah, I'm so sick of hearing Spanish, I could kiss you. Hey, come on over and eat with us, huh?
Oh, well, I don't think we should intrude.
Come on, come on. Misery loves company. I'm Misery, and that's the company. We're from Hollywood.
Yes, so I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, and boy, would I like to be there now. We're down here for some preliminary shots on some Technicolor clam bake, you know. Real turkey, stinkeroo.
Oh, that's too bad.
But we've got an expense account. Oh, that's a lovely thing. Uh-oh, I'm Joe Melton. I'm the unit director.
Oh, well, I'm William Travis. This is my wife, Susan.
Hi.
Mutual. Oh, come over, kids. Join the party. Cheer us up. Only no tamales. I burned out 3 kidneys on tamales since I came over the border. Hey, am I funny?
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, come on over. Hey, Kitty.
Yeah?
I got new blood here, brother.
Yeah.
Oh. Just a moment, Mr. Travis. I thought you might be breakfasting with me. Alone. Sorry.
Oh, no. I got him first, Mac. You want to join us?
No. I've already ordered. Mr. Travis, I think you'd better talk with me now.
Hey, is this guy giving you trouble?
It's all right.
Well, you say the word. I'll have Max pitch him out on his ear.
No. It's all right. We'll be right over, Mr. Melton.
Oh, Bill.
We'll talk to Mr. Sims. Mr. Melton, sort of keep an eye on us, huh? After all, you found us first.
Yeah, sure. Well, come on over soon, kids.
Yeah, what?
Sit down, Mr. Travers. I hope you slept well.
Did you?
I'm not used to spring mattresses. But there are compensations. I stayed up half the night trying new cigarettes and foods. A whole new spectrum of sensation.
What are you talking about?
Still acting, huh? But it's no use. You can't stay in crowds all the time. I'll get you alone soon enough. I'm immensely patient. Let's come to the point. It took me a month to trace you down and be sure of you. Now, if you come with me quietly, I might be able to get you off with no punishment. If you agree to go back to work on the bacteria bomb.
We don't know what you're talking about.
Stop it. Use your intelligence. You know we can't let you get away with this escape. Other people in the year 2155 might get the same idea and do the same. We need people.
To fight your war.
Bill.
It's all right, Susan. We can talk on his terms now. He's got us. We can't escape.
At last. Really, you've both been incredibly romantic. Running away from your responsibilities.
Running away from horror?
Nonsense. Only a war.
Only? With half the world dead, the other half dying?
Yes. But we can't have you escaping here while we drop off a cliff. Dying people love to know that others died with them.
Hey, kids, bring it up. We're waiting on you.
The longer you keep me waiting, the harder it will go on you.
What do you mean?
We need you on that bomb project. Return now and no torture.
Torture?
Yes. You see, later we'll force you to work. And after you finish the bomb, we'll try a number of complicated new devices on you.
Bill.
As you say, you can't escape. We have all the time in the world. Here in 1950.
Sims, I'll make a deal with you. I'll come back now if my wife stays here alive, safe, away from that war.
No, Bill,
keep quiet, sir. Well, Sims, you need me for that bomb. You can duplicate her work.
It exceeds my authority. But all right. Meet me in the plaza in 10 minutes.
I'll pick you up in the car.
Good. We'll drive out into the country to some deserted spot, and I'll have the time travel machine pick us up.
Bill, I won't let you.
Don't argue, Sue. It's settled.
Good. I'll meet you in the plaza in 10 minutes. Your wife may stay here as long as she wishes.
All right, Sims. It's a deal.
Don't try anything now, Travis.
I know when I'm licked. We just want a few minutes to say goodbye.
I'll be seeing you then.
Bill, I won't let you do it. I won't let you.
Please, Susan.
I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to get help.
You can't. The psychological block
it's
won't...
It's our last chance, Bill.
Hey, aren't you two going to join us? I thought
Mr. Melton, I've got something to tell you, and you've got to believe me.
Sue, it won't work.
I've got to try.
Go ahead, kids. Spill it.
You've got to understand. You see, we risk... Bill. Bill, my head. I can't think, but...
Say,
my
you
head.
Need a bromo, honey.
It can't work, Sue. Now, the block is too strong.
Bill.
Come on, we'd better get the
car.
Hey, someone's crying. Now, breakfast, no time for people to cry. Now, what in the world could a good-looking kid like you find to cry about?
Bill, I won't let you do it.
Don't make it harder,
Susan.
Oh,
let me go back with you. We'll get through some way.
You think I'm going to let you go back to that war? Sue, please stop. We haven't got much time.
It was so wonderful here, Bill. Oh, Bill.
And there he is. Smoking those cigars of his, waiting for us.
Oh, man. There must be some way. Some way that we can both stay here.
Maybe there is.
Bill, what are you going to
do?
Hang on, Sue, and duck when I tell you.
No! No, Bill, you're heading right for him.
Not going to get either of us now.
Oh.
Now down, Sue, down!
Bill? Bill?
It's all right, darling. It's all over now. This is the mayor, dear.
Senora, your husband has been officially cleared in this most unfortunate affair. It is obvious this Senor Sims died of an unavoidable accident.
An accident? Yes. Oh, yes, of course.
Adios, Senor. Senora.
Adios.
Will they want to see you again?
No. I'm clear. I lost control of the car. That's the way it stands. Oh, Sue, I hated to kill him. I never wanted to do anything like that in my life.
Where will we go now? Mexico City?
Well, the car's in the repair shop. It won't be ready till 4. Then we'll get out of here.
Hey there, Travis. Wait up.
It's the movie man, Bill. Oh. He was very good to me when they had you in there.
Oh?
Hey, I heard what happened. They sprung you, huh? Great,
yes.
Great.
It was an accident.
Well, it's lucky you didn't get hurt yourselves. Everything okay now?
Yes, I think so.
That's fine, but you both look a little rocky. Say, you want to get your mind off your troubles? We're through for the day. Cloud's fouled up our shooting schedule, so we're going to put a header on it up at the hotel.
Well, I don't think we'd better.
You've got to wait till your car's fixed, don't you? Oh, come on up. It'll do you good to relax. It'll get your mind off what's happened. Gloria's cracking the ice now.
Well, maybe we will join you. I've got to go check up on the car and then...
Well, don't miss the party, kiddies. I'll see you upstairs.
Bill, I don't think
we... Oh, come on, honey. We've got the break now. Sims is dead. Before they can put another searcher on our trail, we'll have time to make a clean getaway.
Bill, I'm so tired.
I know, and what you need is a little excitement. We wait a celebration, honey.
Well, I guess it would be nice to... unwind.
Sure. We'll go up to Melton's room, have a couple of drinks and a few laughs. Honey, it's all over. We can relax.
Well, kiddies.
Well, we thought we'd join you, Mr. Melton.
Oh, great. Call me Joe. Hey, Gloria, yank another cork. We got company.
Thank you. Thank
you. You kids rate a drink. That was a pretty messy business, but it's all over now, huh?
Yes, it's all over.
Yes, well, it's time to unlax. Grab a glass, honey.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, quiet, everybody. Quiet. How about a toast to our guests?
Oh, sure. You bet.
All right. To a very beautiful lady, lovely enough for the movies.
Oh, why, thank you.
No, I'm not kidding. That's why I came over to you in the first place. I might even give you a test.
Oh.
No, I mean it, honey. You're pretty nice. I could make you a movie star.
Oh, and take me to Hollywood?
Well, at least to get us out of Mexico.
No, you're not serious.
Sure I am. Gloria, how about a refill?
Coming up.
Well, it sounds wonderful, doesn't it, Bill?
Yes. Los Angeles is a pretty crowded city, isn't it?
Crowded? Wait till you see the sunset bus.
No, you don't really think I could be an actress. You don't have to cheer me up anymore. I'm feeling wonderful now.
No, I'm serious. I think you'd be great. I want to do a suspense story. Sort of a war story, you know. Gloria, pour Mr. Travis another glass.
Okay, Joe. A suspense story?
Yes, dear, yes. A story about a man and a wife who live in a little house. Now, I'm just ad-libbing this, you understand?
Oh, yes, sure. Go on.
Well, there's a war out, see? A terrible war, you see? They live in the year 2155.
Bill.
Now, here's the gimmick. They escape into the past, and they kill a man who follows them to bring them back. Gloria, honeypot, get Mr. Travis another glass. Well, sir, this couple takes refuge with a group of movie people. Safety in numbers, they figure.
Bill.
But the story goes on. This couple is terribly important for a new project. Let's call it a bacteria bomb. So the searchers figure out a way that they can get them alone in a hotel room. Shove a chair under the doorknob, Max.
Yes, sir.
You see, the workers, searchers may work alone or in groups, so that if one of them's killed, the rest carry on. Don't you think that would make a wonderful picture, huh, Susan? Don't you, Bill?
You're not going to get us, Melton.
Stand still.
Put that gun down, Travis.
Is your driving?
Who is it?
The manager. Your car is already...
Grab that gun, Max.
Ah, let go of me.
Now it may things worse, Mr. Travis.
Bill.
The manager, he heard us. Let's get going.
Let go of me. Let go.
He'll break down our door in a minute. Max, get ready to travel. Take a good look, Mr. Travis. Take a good look at 1950. You won't be seeing it anymore. Throw the switch.
All right, Juan. Break down the door. Where are they?
I was at the door. I heard them inside.
They're gone. The windows. No, the iron bars are undisturbed. What happened to them, Juan? They just disappeared, all of them.
Nuestro Padre Cielo.
All right, Juan. Pray later.
Senor, I think you'd better send for the priest and holy water.
Later, Juan. They just disappeared.
Look here in the closet.
See?
Hey, bottles, hundreds of bottles.
Hey,
Chartreuse, yeah. Cognac, absinthe, tequila, Turkish cigarettes, and boxes of pure Havana cigars. These crazy Americanos. Why should anyone leave all this behind?
Juan, never question Providence. There is enough here to last us both for a month. Juan, I think we can look forward to a most happy future.
You have just heard another adventure into the unknown world of the future, the world of Dimension X.
Dimension X, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 27th of May, 1950, broadcast on NBC. And that does it for our broadcasts of Sci-Fi on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.